Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a question-and-answer session conducted at the end of the presentation today. At that time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your phone. This call is being recorded. If you do have any objections, please disconnect at this time. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Vasant Hanavar. You may begin.
Okay, welcome to the Big Data webinar. I'm Vasant Hanavar, a program director in the Information and Intelligence Systems Division at the National Science Foundation. I'm going to turn it over to Susie Iacono to say a few words about the Big Data Initiative.
Hey, thank you, Vasant. Welcome, everyone. It's my great pleasure to welcome you all here today. I am Susie Iacono, Senior Science Advisor for the Directorate for Computer and Information Science and Engineering at NSF. I co-chair, along with Karen Remington from NIH, the Big Data Senior Steering Group. This group operates under the auspices of the Networking and Information Technology Research and Development, or NITERD, program. Karen will talk about the work of the Big Data SSG in just a moment. We've been operating for the past year. Today, we are presenting the second NSF-NIH webinar on the Core Techniques and Technologies for Advancing Big Data Science and Engineering, or Big Data Solicitation. Before I turn things back over to Vasant, I want to briefly explain why big data is such a big deal to NSF, NIH, and the other agencies participating in the National Big Data Research and Development Initiative. As everyone knows, data are generated by scientific instruments of all sorts, by remote sensors in our physical infrastructure, by new communication modalities, by real-time data streams, and by every other digital source imaginable today and in the future. The world is producing zettabytes of data each year. But it is not just the volume we are concerned with here, but also the challenges related to velocity and variety that are important if we are going to enable breakthrough discoveries and innovation in all areas of science, medicine, and engineering. The potential is huge if we can turn data into actionable knowledge. In its most recent review of the NITERD program, the President's Council of Advisors in Science and Technology, known as PCAST, concluded that the United States government needed to increase its investments in big data. They noted that the pipeline from data to knowledge to action has tremendous potential in transforming all areas of national priority in health, education, cybersecurity, energy and transportation, and emergency preparedness and public safety, to name just a few. As a result, on March 29th, the United States government launched the National Big Data Research and Development Initiative. The solicitation we are discussing here today is the cornerstone of that initiative. I would now like to turn the mic over to Karen Remington, who will talk about the Interagency Big Data Senior Steering Group. Thank you.
Thank you, Susie. I'm Karen Remington, and I am Director of the Division of Biomedical Technology, Bioinformatics, and Computational Biology at the National Institute of General Medical Sciences at NIH. And I have been part of the NITERD program for about 5 years now, the Networking Information Technology Research and Development Program. And that is the program under which the Big Data Senior Steering Group was formed. We were charged by the Office of Science and Technology Policy, OSTP, to come together as agencies and work towards this big data initiative. And over the last year, we have really put in a lot of time trying to come together about the challenges that face each of our individual agencies, and this cuts across beyond NSF and NIH, by the way, just so that you know, there are a lot of agencies at the table when we have been talking about these things. And over the course of the last year, we have formulated cross-cutting challenges, and many of these come into the fold of these core technologies and techniques that are the subject of the solicitation that's active now. I want to thank all of the agency members who have participated in this and let the audience know that this, if you're responding to this RFA, you're actually responding not just to the NSF's needs and NIH's needs, but to the needs of this interagency steering group as well. It has been a real pleasure to work with this group, and we also have identified a lot of other activities that we will be working on over time following this solicitation. This program, the National Big Data Initiative, also will encompass work in workforce development, in training our scientists and our upcoming generation to be thinking in big data terms, to be working on their science as computational scientists. We'll also be launching programs in that will address specific agency needs. That will be upcoming in over time. And then also we're hoping to offer in the near term some prizes and competitions that will really inspire a broader audience to participate. So we're really looking forward to seeing through this big data initiative and this particular solicitation that we're talking about today is just the first part of it. And I'm just going to welcome Vasant back up to the podium to talk through what the solicitation is all about. Vasant?
Thank you, Karen. So, let me start by saying a few words about this initiative, this particular solicitation. And before we start, I want to remind you that you can send your questions to bigdata@nsf.gov anytime during or after the presentation. So that's the email address to which all the questions come in, and we'll be responding to those. If you don't get to your questions today during the presentation, we will get back to you later. So this solicitation involves multiple directorates at NSF as well as multiple institutes at NIH. And so here are a few of the participating program directors. So all of them are part of this solicitation, and they will be involved in review as well as responding to the questions that come up. So just to give a little bit of context to follow up on what Susie talked about, so there is we'll cover a little bit of the background and then specifically the solicitation, the scope of it, as well as the review criteria, review process, and so on. Okay. So as you know, there is an exponential growth in the amount of data. So this is just a chart that shows the amount of data that's available globally in digital form, doubling almost every 2 years. Okay. And there are all kinds of numbers. So one number that's sort of interesting is in the last 3 years, there has been more digital data collected than the previous 40,000 years. So that shows the 40,000 years, right? So, some of this data is useful, maybe not all of it is useful, but nevertheless, there is this exponential increase in the amount of data that's becoming available. And it's not just the quantity of data, but also the rate at which it's being acquired, the complexity, the multiple types, data types that are being gathered. It's happening in different areas, the digital media, scientific disciplines. There's a lot of complexity associated with this data. Not all of this data is certain, so there's need for dealing with uncertainty, incompleteness, and the complexities that come from different types of data representation. So when we talk about big data, it's not just about the amount of data, but also the rate at which it's being acquired, as well as the complexity of the data types. The challenges that come about as a result of the need to integrate all of these data types. So this is happening across virtually every area of human endeavor, so there is multiple areas of science that are generating huge volumes of data of various types and complexity. It's happening with social media and mobile networks and so on, with people carrying all kinds of mobile devices. The humans are acting as sensors, and that creates opportunities that were that are in some ways unprecedented in terms of the types of questions that you can ask. The same thing is happening in healthcare, so one could think of extended clinical trials where you can monitor thousands of individuals over time for hundreds of physiological variables and try to understand the effect of things like lifestyle and various medications on health. So the opportunities basically cut across virtually every area of science and virtually every area of human activity. So the big data presents unprecedented opportunities for accelerating scientific discovery. It can lead to entirely new fields of inquiry that would not be otherwise possible in the absence of these data sources. It would allow, if successful, to make improved decisions in many places and understand human and social process, for example, evolution of social groups and things of that nature that previously could not be studied because of lack of access to data in real time. So this has been recognized by the community. So Science did a special issue on this a while ago. Economist magazine did a special issue on this. And Gray has talked about this data-intensive science for quite some time. So what are some of the examples of research challenges? Well, we are gathering data, more data than we can store in some areas. Certainly more data is being gathered. In some cases, it's more data than we could possibly store. So we need techniques for analyzing the data as it's being gathered, techniques for deciding what to keep and what to discard. Many data sets are too large to be shipped around or downloaded, so we need techniques for analyzing the data wherever it resides under various sorts of access constraints, privacy, restrictions, and so on. And many data sets are too poorly organized to be useful, and so we need better techniques for organizing and indexing and retrieving data. Many data sets are heterogeneous in type, structure, semantics, organization, accessibility, and so on, so we need techniques that integrate and customize access to these multitude of federated data sources. And ultimately, the utility of data is limited by our ability to interpret it and use it. So we need better techniques for extracting useful knowledge from this multitude of large, very complex data sources, as well as evaluate the results that we get to apply to real problems and find out how well they work. So this big data initiative is part of, at NSF, it's part of this larger cyber infrastructure for the 21st century vision. So it fits within the data knowledge piece of it. There are many other pieces. So if you're interested in all the other activities, you can go to the CIF21 webpage. It has pointers to many of these things. Okay, so the big, just to put the particular solicitation which we are talking about today in context, so this is one of many solicitations. So the focus of this solicitation is on core techniques and technologies, so we will elaborate on that in a minute. But I want to draw your attention to other opportunities that are out there. So there is computational and data-enabled science and engineering solicitations. There are two of them, one from Division of Mathematical Sciences and one associated with engineering, and they both cut across multiple directorates at NSF, and they focus on some aspects that might be of interest to you. As well as there is a new solicitation that OCI just released, which is focused on infrastructure projects. So if you are not addressing necessarily fundamental advances in techniques, but are more interested in building infrastructure for big data, that's probably a solicitation that you should look at. And then for educational opportunities, there is the IGERT, which is out as well. So please take a look at these related solicitations because some of them may be better fits for some of your interests. So So the big data solicitation that we are going to talk about today focuses on core techniques and technologies within three thrust areas. So the first one is the data management, collection, and storage. The second one is data analytics. And the third is eSense collaboration environments. And in each of these cases, the focus of this particular solicitation is on advances in fundamental technologies, but that may be driven by particular applications, or it may be targeted towards particular applications, but there should be some component of the proposed research that is really focused on advancing the core techniques and technologies. So, for example, if there is just a routine, straightforward application of existing data mining technologies to a new data set, would not be interesting. However, for this particular solicitation, however, an application that actually advances the core technologies would be very much within the scope of the solicitation. We'll get to this in a minute. Okay. So the data management, collection, and storage thrust roughly covers, you know, what the data mining, databases, information retrieval, and related communities typically focus on, but on a scale and complexity and breadth that is perhaps bigger than what has been traditionally looked at. So this looks at new data storage, IO architectures, efficient techniques for archiving, indexing, storing, retrieving, recovering data, techniques for dealing with data as it comes in, for example, streaming data, compressed sensing, dealing with a processing of large data streams, various techniques for data annotation, discovering new data sources as they come online, workflows, provenance, advanced data architectures, so, as well as languages, tools, and methodologies, and programming environments for dealing with this massive data sets of very different data types. The data analytics piece of it focuses on roughly the area that machine learning, data mining, statistics communities have been traditionally interested in. These cover topics such as scalable machine learning algorithms, large-scale statistical and probabilistic inference, data mining algorithms. The scaling up is an issue, as well as challenges that come from new data types that have very large data sets with very large dimensionality and complexity in general, structured data types and so on. So this the topics include predictive modeling, hypothesis generation, various aspects of automated discovery, new algorithms, programming languages, data structures for supporting this type of analysis, data-driven simulations, so that on, as well as data that comes from simulations. So it's not related. The solicitation is not limited to just data that's gathered from natural sources, but it could also be computationally generated as it is in some disciplines. It covers topics like information extraction from richly structured multimodal data, interactive data visualization, and various other things. So data analytics under various sorts of constraints and processing, time, storage, energy. The eScience collaboration environments, here again, the focus is on core advances that are needed to support collaboration, not so much on the infrastructure itself that's covered by the companion solicitation that I mentioned, but there are many fundamental issues in developing this collaboration environment. So how do you enable sharing of workflows that are developed by different groups? How do you support data representations that are shared, that are shareable, new collaboration tools, new techniques for supporting remote operations, scheduling, and real-time remote access to instruments and data sources. The NIH, which is participating in this initiative, has its own set of priorities, some of which are identified in the solicitation. But again, these are examples of areas where advances would be beneficial to the mission of NIH. So this includes, but a lot of these cut across the three themes that I mentioned earlier. And the focus, again, on this solicitation is on core advances, but then from an NIH perspective, targeted to applications of interest to NIH. And in general, the solicitation is we are interested in proposals that also respond to national priorities in advanced manufacturing, health IT, emergency response and preparedness, clean energy, and so on. Again, the focus of the solicitation is on core advances. So it might target one of these applications. The proposals might target one or more of these applications. They may be driven by challenges that are offered by some of these applications, but there should be some core advances in the areas that we mentioned. So just to, as I said, the focus is on core technological advances in computer and information sciences and engineering, mathematics or statistics that need to take advantage of these large data sets, or what we call big data, to accelerate discovery. So they may address one or more of these areas, thrust areas, proposals that are completely situated in one of these areas are as acceptable as proposals that cut across multiple areas. So what are not good fits for this solicitation? Well, proposals that focus primarily on implementing existing techniques without really addressing any of the challenges. For example, it's okay to implement existing algorithms if they address some new challenges in terms of scalability or extending the scope of application to new types of data and so on, but a routine application of existing techniques. This particular solicitation. Developing just building databases that serve specific communities unless it is coming up with entirely new data representations or that specifically advances the core area, it's not a problem. So the proposal submission and review process, all of these proposals will come to NSF. Proposals will be reviewed by panels based on the standard merit review criteria, and I'll say a little bit more about this in a minute, as well as solicitation-specific criteria that you need to address. So the standard NSF review criteria we'll get to in a minute. The solicitation-specific review criteria relate to data management and software sharing plan, the capacity building plan, the evaluation plan, and the coordination plan, which is a required component for mid-scale proposals. The panels will be, there are not going to be separate panels necessarily for NSF and NIH interests. So there'll be one set of panels that would have expertise from the relevant communities that are needed to address the topics that are covered by proposals. So the PIs may target, however, a specific agency sponsorship if they have communicated with a program officer from that agency. So if there's some particular NIH institute that's interested in the topic, then you might want to talk to the program director and indicate that when you submit the proposal. All the proposals that are not targeted to a specific agency will be considered for funding by NSF or NIH. So now getting to the intellectual merit criteria, so for the people that have been familiar with the NSF criteria, these are the standard intellectual merit review criteria. They cover things like how important is the significance of the activity for advancing knowledge in some particular field of science or engineering, how qualified is the proposer to conduct the project, the extent to which the proposal is innovative, creative, original, and potentially transformative, and the organization of the proposal itself and access to resources. And these roughly map more or less directly to the NIH scientific merit review criteria of significance, investigative innovation, approach, and environment. So the panels will be asked to review the proposals based on the intellectual merits criteria, and then the proposals will that are of interest to NIH will receive also an NIH score. So now I want to talk about a little bit about the capacity building and some of the other solicitation-specific criteria. So the capacity building criterion roughly corresponds to the broader impacts criterion for the standard NSF proposals for those who are in the NSF community. But it's a little bit broader than that, and it suggests specific activities that you may address as part of this capacity building component of your proposal. So this could include things like education and outreach, broadening participation, cost models for dealing with big data sources, data management models, community data standards for new types of data, access policies for shared data sources, community economic sustainability models for various aspects of big data, and so on. So each proposal doesn't need to address every one of these capacity building activities. Individual proposals can focus on one or more of these as appropriate for the project, and this will be evaluated as part of the overall review of the proposal. And each proposal needs to include an evaluation plan, and again, the nature of the evaluation plan should be appropriate for the type of the project that's proposed, as well as the scope of the project. So, for example, the small projects might have a limited, very focused evaluation plan, whereas the mid-scale project might have a much broader set of evaluation criteria that they use. The evaluation plan will be assessed as well as part of the merit review process. So the data sharing plan, each proposal needs to include a data sharing plan that covers the types of data, curriculum materials, software, and other artifacts that would be produced by the project, the standards that will be used for sharing the data, policies for access and sharing, plans for archiving and for preservation of access beyond the life of the project. And then software sharing plan needs to address aspects of sharing of the software that would result from the work, the dissemination. It could include things like terms of availability that would permit commercialization or dissemination, further development by other groups, open source if it's appropriate. And so the applicant is responsible for creating the original software as well as making it available to the community. And the software management plan or the software sharing plan will be also assessed as part of the merit review process. And there's a special requirement for mid-scale proposals. These are typically collaborative proposals, and therefore they need to spell out a plan for how the different investigators that are part of the collaboration will work together. So you should identify the roles of the investigators and the plans for working together. And so this is, again, spelled out in the solicitation. The mid-scale proposals that don't include a coordination plan will be returned without review. So if you're planning on submitting a mid-scale proposal, make sure that you include a coordination plan. Okay, so there are two types of proposals. The mid-scale projects that are due June 13th, and these typically are collaborative proposals. The number of investigators suggested is not an upper or a lower bound. It's really what a mid-scale project is defined by the budget limits. So the budget's up to $1 million. Total, this includes direct as well as indirect costs, per year up to 5 years is what a mid-scale project is. The small projects are due July 11, 2012, and these are smaller in scope and have budgets up to about $250,000 total again, including direct and indirect costs per year for up to 3 years. And the budget limits for NIH are comparable. And so you can look at the NIH notice first numbers. So how many awards can be anticipated? We have at this point in time approximately 25 million over the FY12 and FY13. Okay, so there's an estimate, so this can translate to approximately 15 to 20 projects that would be funded by NSF and our NIH during these 2 years. And so the precise numbers would, of course, depend on the size of the projects and the exact amount of money that might be available. The application, well, you can look at the solicitation for how to apply. If you're unfamiliar with the NSF process, you should look at the proposal and award policies and procedures guide that spells out the exact procedure for applying. And you should consult the FastLane as well as grants.gov. You can use either one of those if you're planning to apply. And of course, you should work with your sponsored programs, research office at your institution to prepare the proposal. And so we will, at this point, start answering, taking questions in a minute. So we'll answer as many questions as we can that come through today, either by email or through the voice line. But if you have further questions that we may not be able to get to today, then please send them in, and we will try to answer them individually by email as well as update the FAQ that's posted. Okay, so that brings us to the end of our presentation. So at this time, we are ready to take the questions.
Thank you. At this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone, and please record your first and your last name so I may introduce you. That's star, then 1. At any time to withdraw your request, it's star 2. Once again, to ask a question, star 1. One moment, please.
Okay, while we are waiting for the call-in questions, we'll answer some questions that have come in through email. So one of these questions is, how will candidate proposals for NIH be identified? By panel, by proposers, et cetera. Well, so the candidates for NIH can be identified in more than one way. So the PIs can self-identify the proposal as of something that might be targeted to an NIH-relevant application. They may have talked to an NIH program director, and if so, they may specifically target NIH. But also, after the proposals come in, the program directors from NIH and NSF will sort through the proposals and identify proposals that might be relevant to NIH interest. And depending on the topics in that are covered by the proposal, the panels will have the relevant expertise that's needed to evaluate those projects. And based on the outcome of the review, the two agencies would work together in terms of funding the projects that review well. The second question that's sort of related is, it appears that NIH participation is modest. Does this mean that biomed applications will see a smaller acceptance rate? Will NIH consider funding competitive proposals that involve new computer science and a medical application? Will NSF consider funding competitive proposals that involve new computer science and a medical application? The answer to this question is, of course, as long as the proposals address core advances in the areas that we talked about, regardless of the application, whether it's relevant to NIH or some other funding agency, or so the solicitation does not limit the area of application. So all application areas that involve the fundamental advances in some way will be very much within the scope of what's being considered. So the funding may come from NSF or NIH or both or some combination thereof. So one question is that has come up is, can research be funded based on technology that's undergoing IP protection? So the answer is the norm at NSF is for research to be open. So the results and outcomes should be published in the open scientific literature. And then, of course, the proposals are required to address both the data and software sharing plans. So those are part of the merit review criteria. And so that might cause some issues in terms of software sharing. Okay, so the second question that is related to this that also has come up is, are any rights waived as part of the proposal submission, even if the project is not accepted or funded? And the response to this is that the proposals are confidential, and no one, including the reviewers, can use any information that's gained by reviewing the proposals. So the proposers don't waive any IP rights simply by submitting a proposal to NSF. And the third question, which is also sort of related, is can a startup company that has IP to be funded with collaboration with the university providing the rights for education and and research, but not be commercial? Collaborations between companies and educational institutions are very much encouraged. But the results of research that is supported by NSF and NIH is required to be available in the open literature and be broadly disseminated. So it's the answer to the previous question sort of covers this. So if companies are welcome to participate and under the usual guidelines. So the research results should be broadly available, the data as well as the software access. As well as the software management plan should be part of the review process. And if there is a technology transfer, the plans for technology transfer must be, how it is done is up to the company and the university collaborators in terms of commercialization.
Excuse me, this is the operator. We do have some questions over the phone.
Okay.
Our first question comes from Debashis Mitra. Your line is open.
Hi. My question is, if it is funded by NSF and NIH jointly, is it possible the NIH money can support somebody in the lab, national lab? Normally, NSF doesn't do that, so that's why I am asking.
As far as we understand, the guidelines are very similar. So it's not a question of whether somebody is at a national lab. Generally, NSF does not support individuals whose salaries are already funded by a federal agency. However, researchers that may be on soft money positions, their salaries can be covered. So this really the details would need to be worked out, and you should talk to the program directors. There are special conditions under which projects from national labs can be supported. Under normal conditions, salaries of federal employees cannot be covered by projects that are funded by NSF or NIH.
At this time, I'd like to remind participants, if you'd like to ask a question, it's star, then one. Our next question comes from Sudipto Banerjee, your line is open.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I'm at the University of Minnesota, and I'm in the biostatistics department there. My question also is related to effort. I understand that NSF does not allow more than 2 months of effort combining all NSF grants. Now, I already have current grants from NSF and as well as from NIH, and I'm wondering if I want to send in a new proposal, should I have to negotiate with the program officer about, increasing my effort above 2 months, or is that at all possible, or what is the strategy here, given that I already have salary from NSF and NIH?
Well, the PI's commitment to a project relative to all the other efforts that the PI is involved is something that the reviewers can take into account. There are, of course, ways for PIs to be involved in a project without getting salary out of it. There are also ways for PIs to reduce their commitment to an existing project that they have ongoing so that they could participate in a new project. So the general guidelines of 2 months of effort per PI for NSF projects still holds.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Paul Thompson. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. My question is about funding of foreign sites. I saw in the RFA that there are particular instructions that say that funding going to sites outside the U.S. has to be very limited. I wanted to just ask your opinion on that. I mean, should we list foreign people as consultants only, or if it's strongly justified, is there a potential to have foreign subcontracts, or is that not allowed?
Yeah, so generally NSF does not fund foreign institutions. However, a proposal can include funding for visitors, et cetera, and that could be worked out within the normal process. So if the institution that's funded can have a foreign participant come for a short period of time, for example. The foreign component of the research should really be funded by the corresponding agency. So, for example, if it's a European institution that's interested in participating, the European part of the collaboration should be funded by that agency.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Santosh Kumar. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. So thank you for taking my question. I have a quick question about the size of the awards. What do you anticipate as the average size of a mid-scale proposal?
Well, the numbers are in the solicitation, so that's what you can ask for. And depending on the scope of the work that's proposed, the panels will have to evaluate whether the budget is appropriate.
So thank you.
Our next question comes from Deborah Dunning. Your line is open.
Good morning. Do the data sharing requirements allow an entity to share data freely with people who are not-for-profit organizations and to charge fees to people in the commercial sector so as to support further data innovation?
That's entirely up to the PIs as to justify how they plan to share the data, and that's something that would be evaluated in the larger context of the proposal. So it's not a priori ruled out that you can charge for access from commercial entities.
Thank you.
And at this time, I show no further questions. I'd like to remind the participants to ask a question, star one.
Okay, so we'll answer some questions that have come in through email. So one of these questions is, how much emphasis is there on having preliminary results? Well, the solicitation is no different from other solicitations, so the amount of preliminary results that is included will be evaluated by the panel in the larger context of the review criteria. So this is no different from any other solicitation in that regard. Second question is, will young investigators' proposals be evaluated separately? Well, they will not be evaluated separately. They will be paneled. They will be subject to the same evaluation criteria. However, in the larger, NSF does care about broadening participation, making sure that a mix of investigators are supported. And so in that context, the fact that somebody is a new PI might be considered, and I know that NIH also has similar policies. Another question is, could a project demonstration nationally and internationally be considered? Well, this solicitation focuses on basic research. So if one of the outcomes of that is demonstrating the results nationally and internationally, certainly that could be a way to broaden the impact of the research. But a mere demonstration is not responsive to the solicitation. Right, so since there are no other questions waiting to be answered, so we will bring the webinar to an end. However, any questions, you can send questions in at any time to bigdata@nsf.gov. Thanks.
Thank you for your participation. The call has concluded. Please disconnect at this time.